Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. That's a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. You need the blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in 3 seconds. Then work it up.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an accident policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
All right, Larry, this week has had some interesting things of note for all Friends of Liberty, otherwise known as libertarians,
right?
So there's plenty to talk about and a couple of really disturbing things. But before we get to that, libertarians wanting to keep their minds on their money and their money on their minds, or whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah.
That means the first thing we have to get to is... Bing, bing. All right. For all your riotous needs, please go to home base, which is nothing other than thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs. You have past episode show synopsis, both video and audio archives of every show, all 175 past episodes, Larry.
Wow.
Of The Riot. Yes, we've been at it a while. So check us out there. You can also follow us on social media. Head on over to Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow for all your riotous needs. And Larry, a lot of people joining up on the Facebook page. We encourage everyone to become a fan on the Facebook page. After that, head on over to Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow. That's where all the dirtiness comes out. If you think we do dick jokes on this show, wait till you see when I'm completely uncensored on Twitter. And nobody looking over my shoulder.
Yeah, go ahead and argue with Johnny Pitbull over there.
But anyway, twitter.com/thatriotshow. And then if you're of the sort that likes to listen to the show strictly on an audio basis, because either Larry, myself, or both of us are far too ugly for the visual medium, then head on over to your favorite podcast platform. Phil, please do the Scroll Low podcasts. That would be iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, all the places where great podcasts can be found. Just search for That Riot Show, all one word, That Riot Show, for your favorite podcasting platform. That's where you'll find us. All right, Larry.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it. And honestly, we could spend the whole show doing this, and for all I know, because we don't time this out, we may spend the whole
show talking about this,
which is the supposed ban of the press by Herb Rumpf this week, where he had his minions specifically exclude particular news outlets from what's known as a press gaggle. This is not an official press conference.
Right.
Larry, this is just like when someone says, hey, we're going to go make an announcement over there today, like sort of off the cuff type of thing.
Right. There's no cameras.
And who did Trump Ben, it was CNN.
CNN, his favorite fake news outlet, right. The CNN, the New York Times, Politico, BuzzFeed.
Washington Post, I think.
I believe the Washington Post was also kept up.
Also maybe the LA Times, I could be wrong. But the important thing here was he specifically excluded news organizations, not individual reporters. And on top of that, he went on a Twitter rant, which was like, you know, fake news, failing New York Times. They will not be, you know, they lie, they do this, they do that. Of course, this comes on the heel of last week's famous, I am not the enemy of the people. The press, the fake news press is the enemy of the people.
Enemy of the American people.
No. Which came from Steve Bannon, who's like the shadow president here. And really, we talked about it a little bit last week, but this whole exclusion thing didn't really come to the forefront until this week. So, Larry, I have a couple of things about this that I wanted to say. And the first one is, I think there's overreactions on both sides. I mean, there really is legitimate shit to be upset about, okay?
Yeah.
But for all you Democrats who rightfully are upset about this,
right?
I would just ask you, before we go any further, and I'll take your answers at face value, as if I can hear you through your screen, Larry. Were you this upset when Obama initially banned Fox News at the start of his administration?
Right.
Were you equally upset that the First Amendment potentially, or the spirit of the First Amendment, was being trampled upon? Were you upset when Obama set his goons against individual reporters by investigating them, tapping their phones, sicking the IRS on them? All of this documented during the
IRS go after conservative groups.
Yeah. Okay. So, if you were as upset about that as we were.
Yeah.
Then, yes, you have every right to be upset about Trump doing this. For you Republicans, #Republicans, please keep in mind that, yes, Obama did this to you, but like Larry and I say about a lot of other things, this isn't a fucking contest. And the fact that your statist has managed to outdo the shittiness of the prior statist is not something to be proud of.
Right.
It's not something for you, Larry, to run around if you're a Republican at CPAC or whatever, running around saying, oh, well, he banned Fox. Obama banned Fox. Our asshole managed to ban 5 or 6.
There's a good point about the hypocrisy of it, because when Obama spent 8 years kind of making fun of Fox, you know, he went on the campaign trail and he used to go, you know, if I watched Fox, I'd hate me too.
Right.
And like the crowds would laugh and, you know, they were so into it. And I mean, it's a good point, but I mean, as far as what Trump is doing, this is just terrible.
Of course. He's taking it a step further.
He's taking it. He's taking it now that, and the people he did let in was One America News, which I actually get on my cable channel. Right. It's kind of an up and coming, but it's clearly conservative. The Washington Times.
Breitbart.
And Breitbart. you know, he let in the guys who tend to say nice things about him.
Right.
And, the other day at the press conference, now that's a nice question. I like that question. Yeah. Somebody asked him some silly, you know. So you have to realize that you're dealing with now, Trump is saying that anything that is fake news basically are just any facts he doesn't like.
Right.
Anybody who criticizes him, he claims he can take criticism. But as far as I can see, this is the thinnest skinned person since, I don't know. I mean, you know, look, Obama, Bush, they used to let everybody, Clinton, come in and say whatever. I mean, and having a separate and independent, this shouldn't need to be pointed out to all you rude publicans, but having a separate independent press is really the cornerstone of democracy and keeping people honest. And that they're supposed to be a little hostile. I don't even mind that. Now, granted, CNN in particular has gone really overboard with the anti-Trump. I mean, they're so hostile. It's not even like watching a news channel. Like, if you turn it on, like Cuomo kicks off every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he sits there for like 2 hours and just goes off on him. And then they hand it off to Poppy somebody, and then she does it.
Yeah.
And it's just a handoff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so, I mean, they have been really tough on it. But that doesn't mean what they're saying is unfactual. It just means they have a very
left-wing
bias.
Here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I've gotten into it with so-called journalists, conservative journalists, Republican journalists on Twitter. One of them is a guy who writes for Breitbart, who in the past I thought he was okay. You know, on Twitter his avatar is Al Bundy, so you know you can't be all bad. But the truth of the matter is, we were going back and forth, and his point is, well, look, what's wrong? I love Trump for what he's doing, because Trump is sticking it to the leftist media, and who's that guy that we used to meet at CBS? Brent Bozell.
Brent Bozell, yeah.
Okay, who runs some sort of media watchdog, conservative media watchdog group, the opposite of Media Matters, for example. They're like, oh, this is wonderful because Trump is giving them their own medicine. Here's what you Republicans fail to understand, which honestly is so clear to me that I think you're being deliberately obtuse. At least I hope you're being deliberately obtuse, because otherwise I'd hate to think that I was following such brands of idiots for so long prior to Trump being elected, which is the following. Yes, you have clearly, for the most part, a mainstream media that has a left-wing bias. Absolutely no doubt.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
No argument.
Both of us have been on that bandwagon for a lot longer than most of you guys in your 30s and 40s. We were yelling about this back in pre-Reagan, okay? Yeah. Even as college students, as high school students, it was obvious to us, okay? Whether, you know, we understood that Walter Cronkite and then his protege, Dan Rather, right, we're actually fucking communists, okay?
Yeah. Well, they're out there on the left.
Yeah. You could call them humanists if you want, fine. But they were basically communists. And these were the most trusted voices in America, allegedly, okay? Anyway, our point being is we are hardly apologists for the left-wing media. So, but when I hear Republicans say, but what's wrong with Trump giving it to them, Larry? He's giving them, and Trump coming out and announcing that all media is fake news, except for the ones that Trump says are good.
Right.
So in Trump's eyes, it's only, like Larry said, Breitbart, Alex Jones, of all people.
Washington Times.
Washington Times. And, of course, his own Twitter feed. These are officially good sources of news.
Right.
Okay? Here's the difference for all you Republicans. And I can't believe I have to explain this to you. Given the choice of mistrust and nastiness from a free left-wing press or a Republican president, guess who I would side with, even though I don't agree with them? The free press. Why? Because at the end of the day, all they can do is type up words on a piece of paper or letters on a blog, Larry.
Yeah.
The
and,
fucking
and try to influence.
Right.
You
and, the fucking idiot in the White House has the coercive power of the federal government behind him.
Right.
He has guys with guns. He has bombs. He has nuclear. Okay. That's the difference. So even if they were equally shitty and equally biased in opposite directions, who are you supposed to be afraid of more? A fucking, what's his name, Abe Rosenthal over at the New York Times? Or fucking Donald Trump in the White House? Who am I supposed to be more afraid of their bias?
Yeah, I'm not afraid of the press writing their nonsense. I mean, and I understand why the Republicans are doing this.
Yeah.
Because it's exactly what you just said. You know, when I was growing up, the press went out of their way to cover for Jimmy Carter. You know, everything he did, even when he fucked up, it was only because he was such a decent human being. And then, like Reagan, incredibly hostile. If you're old enough, you remember Sam Donaldson yelling moronic questions at him in like the rudest way possible. Then Bush Sr. and Clinton and so on. So I realize that for some of you, you're looking at this as your comeuppance media.
Yeah.
This is what you get. We finally got a Republican who, instead of just going to CPAC and like complaining about the media, is actually going after them and calling you names and shutting you out for your left-wing views. And I understand that appeals to some of you, but it's really not right. It's potentially dangerous. Now at CPAC the other day, Bannon actually showed up with Reince Priebus and sat there and had like and spoke publicly. You normally don't hear from this guy very much. And he came out and he said, you have to understand that the media is globalist, corporatist, and they've got their own agenda and they don't want to hear anything different. And probably a good half of the crowd started clapping for him and applauding for him. Now, I've been to, and John's been to CPAC, right? I went 3 years in a row back in the late 80s. Obviously, it has morphed into something quite different.
Yeah,
because I can tell you a time when that kind of comments would not have...
real conservatives would not put up with that shit. And actually, back in the day, that's why many people who are now libertarians were probably conservatives back in that day. Because that's when the Republican Party still stood for smaller government, less spending, lower taxes, free trade, non-censorship. They always had problems with religion, you know, and that shit. But now it's the complete opposite. You're just fucking statist, just like Obama was. Right. So, I, and again, I keep we keep saying this. Why is it a fucking contest? Obama was a shitty president, was a shitty statist president. So your guy has to be an even bigger shit stain of a statist? No. I don't get it. No. Right? Obama kicked out Fox News. We're going to kick out CNN, the New York Times. Why?
Did he just...
No, you mean Obama.
Yeah.
Obama said he wanted to exclude them, but then... And here's where a lot of people, even at Fox, have copped to this. What's his name? Brett Baer? Is that the guy at Fox? He even copped to this. He said, you know, when Obama was talking about excluding Fox from all the pressers and everything, there were people at the New York Times and CNN who said, if you stonewall them, you're stonewalling us.
Yeah, they came to their defense.
Which
is actually going on right now, though. The Fox people have come out and said...
Some of them, not all of them.
Chris like Wallace obviously came out and said, look, CNN's a real news network.
Right.
Stop calling them fake. Shepard Smith, another Fox guy, said CNN's absolutely a legitimate news agency.
Right.
Let's not be ridiculous.
Right.
And one other guy, I think O'Reilly stood up for them too. So there's been a little bit of, there's a lot of competition between them, but they've all stood up for their rights as like press.
Well, they all recognize that unless you're like just the biggest of fucking short-sighted morons, you understand that a threat against any part of the First Amendment eventually comes back to you. It's the same reason in the past when we said we couldn't understand comedians who were for censorship of certain subjects. Or who said certain subjects couldn't be joked
about.
What's
going on college campuses?
Or what's going on college campuses?
They don't want to hear an opinion other than their own.
Right. These things are a threat to the First Amendment. And I know there's people out there who are going to think they're smarter than we are to say, well, the First Amendment is only when the government criminalizes speech. Yes, absolutely. But we all understand what the spirit of the law is.
Right.
And if there's someone who is afraid to speak or is intimidated into not speaking by private entities, that's still, you know, that's an anti-First Amendment sentiment, whether it actually violates the letter of the Constitution.
And if you understand that, then you have to understand that the most powerful person in the country, the most powerful person in the world, going after news agencies, claiming that they're fake, claiming that they lie, and he did it again the other day at CPAC. Did you see his speech? They're so dishonest.
Right.
They're always telling their lies. They are the enemy of the American people. And then he tried to distinguish between there were real news agencies and then there are just fake news agencies.
And amazingly, all the real ones.
Fake news agencies are the enemy of the American people. And the ones that are the real ones are the ones that write nice things about him and his wife.
Coincidentally.
Yeah.
Coincidentally. So you have to understand that when these things happen, you have to have an open mind if you're a Republican. Don't be as fucking close-minded as the left.
But they've sold themselves out. It's terrible.
Oh, of course,
First off, the fact that Trump won and the fact that he was getting like standing ovations and applause at CPAC, the fact that he wants to build this stupid wall, which is really is not a conservative point of view, he's not going to get the Mexicans to pay
free
for
trade.
It. So then his punishment for any companies that go to Mexico with tariffs. And since when do conservatives support tariffs? I feel like I'm in the fucking Twilight Zone, for God's sakes.
It's bizarro world.
Right? He claimed like that Mexican judge couldn't do his job because he's Mexican. Since when do conservatives tell, or even worse though, the judge that stopped his travel ban initially called him a so-called judge.
Yeah, the alleged judge.
What do you mean so-called judge? Since when does the president say things? And since when do conservatives question the hierarchy of power of people who have their jobs legitimate? It's not like he got to be judge because he won a raffle, for God's sakes.
And here's the funny part. The same Republicans that are saying good for Trump, he's a real man, he's doing all that. How many of you were the first to complain? Remember the first 6 months of Obama's presidency when he invited that sheriff that broke into the black professor's home accidentally in Massachusetts? He goes, oh, let's have a beer. I'm going to sit down
and
have a
beer. The professor who
broke in and was arrested.
He got arrested because a neighbor called it in.
Right. He broke into his own home. But the point was that Obama intervened personally in that. Okay?
Yeah.
So all you liberals, it's not a matter of it's wrong when it's the other guy, when it's the opinions you don't agree with. If you have real principles, like I hope we have, you're able to understand that it's wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah,
period.
Wrong all the time, yeah.
Like, I don't... See, here's where people, I think... And look, I never knew Andrew Breitbart personally.
Right.
But I've certainly seen that documentary... Finding Breitbart or Seeking Breitbart, whatever. There was a documentary about him, and it's on Netflix. And certainly, is that Breitbart wanted to expose through guerrilla tactics the hypocrisy of the left. Okay? The lies, the fake, you know, the paying of protesters and all that. And he did a marvelous job of that.
He started out as a liberal.
You're right. And, you know, nobody understands that the biggest believer is a convert, obviously, because it took a lot to convert them, right? But the point is that I think what Breitbart was for, and a lot of liberals hate Breitbart. I know people who say they're happy he's dead, they hope he's festering in hell and all this. But those people, in my opinion, tend to be the people who just hated the fact that they were exposed, okay?
Right.
The problem with what happened with Breitbart, when you have all his acolytes at Breitbart News right now, Breitbart.com, is that those people have a nastiness and they're willing to employ the same tactics that outraged someone like Breitbart, in my opinion. Okay. Yeah. And again, I didn't know the guy personally, so maybe he was a petty asshole. I don't know.
And I saw him a million times, though, on Fox, and he was on Red Eye a couple of times. I mean, he seemed like a decent sort, but he was just, he's a guy who grew up in the Hollywood, the LA area, mm-hmm. whatever. He grew up as liberal as anyone. And at some point, he just concluded that they're like the biggest lying hypocrites in the world.
Yeah.
And he started like getting a little bit more into the conservative right. bend, and then he started Breitbart.
Right.
And then he outed a few people and embarrassed right. a few liberals. He caught them like being ridiculous.
Right.
And, but I mean, I've also noticed now that whenever Breitbart is responding, now here's another thing. MSNBC does the CNN. And whenever they talk about Breitbart, it is now referred to as an alt-right site. I don't know that Breitbart is an alt-right site. I mean, I would say it's a pretty conservative
site. It certainly started out very conservative. But I think they've gone courting the alt-right simply by not dismissing them. So, for example, Bannon himself, I would categorize as alt-right. Yiannopoulos, the alt-right has embraced him. Don't ask me how a black-loving gay guy from England who calls himself a Jew, I don't even know if he is or not, somehow became the darling of the alt-right. But yeah. He has, okay? So, and they fired him last week. So my point being is that Breitbart probably was conservative, but now they bought into this populist nationalist nonsense, whether it's alt-right or not. But for the most part, yeah, they're out there. I wouldn't even call them conservative anymore.
Yeah, really?
Wow. Even if you look at, what's-his-face, Glenn Beck, okay?
Yeah.
Used to be part of that crowd, you know, associated with them. And he's backing off because he said, it was a very interesting. There was an interview I think he had with Samantha Bee, and they did cross interviews. He did one for her show, she did one for his show.
Okay.
And I think he also did an interview with Penn Jillette.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I think someone like Glenn Beck has come to the realization that his style and his rhetoric really has now, whereas he may understand the difference between the rhetoric and what people should be doing in his worldview, which is he's a Mormon, he's very conservative, very religious. I think his tone and his rhetoric was taken by rubes and taken to the next level, unfortunately.
Mm.
Okay? And that's what's happening with Trump supporters. Like, whether Trump admits to it or not, he has phrased and framed everything in a very racist, anti-individualist, pro-government context, right? So there was this super, super great article on libertarianism.org that paralleled Mussolini's control of the state media once he got into power and what Trump is doing. And if you read it, the parallels are pretty scary. Mussolini, for example, started out by delegitimizing,
delegitimizing
that the Italian press in the 20s. Essentially, fake media. He called them people who did not promote the culture of the country.
Right.
Right. But basically, the equivalent of false news. That if you were a real Italian under Mussolini, these free press newspapers in Italy back in the 20s and 30s did not represent your viewpoints. They represented the Jews, the nationalists, the foreign interests, mm-hmm. right? Think about what Trump is doing. The enemy of the people is the media. It's all fake news, except for the ones that Trump tells you are not fake, okay? And by the way, he just happens to have a list of these news sites which all agree with him.
Right.
These are straight up fascist, communist tactics to control the media
right.
and to squash opposition thought. Now, whether he can get away with it, allegedly, in this nation that has a First Amendment, who knows? Who knows?
Probably not.
But you're already seeing the seeds of it, Larry. But
I know he's trying to coerce the media into being much more positive to him.
Yes.
Less negative.
Yeah.
Less critical.
Yes.
And
he's trading access for reporting, which I heard someone say is a great distinction, Larry. Like, if you think of Woodward and Bernstein when they broke the Watergate story,
right?
Someone brought up this point. They did it from their desks at the Washington Post.
Right.
They didn't have access to Nixon.
Right.
They didn't have access to, I mean, yeah, they got deep throat help and all that.
Yeah.
But my point is, like, they did it from their desks. They did it by hitting the pavement, by making phone calls, okay? Yeah. It wasn't that because they they had access to the White House.
No, it was all old-fashioned shoe leather.
And I've said this before. In my memory of presidents and my understanding of presidents that have been buzzing my lifetime, so let's say starting from Lyndon Johnson to now. So that goes back maybe 50 years, right? I've seen presidents who have been very adversarial with the press in general. Nixon comes to mind.
Yeah, Nixon had a terrible relationship
with the press. Fucking hated the press. He thought they were all communists, but he never banned any of them.
Yeah.
Okay? He had J. Edgar Hoover follow them around.
He did stuff like that, but he didn't ban them.
He didn't ban. Then we've had presidents that I can tell have been adversarial with specific reporters who have been a pain in their ass. Larry mentioned Reagan and Donaldson. Interestingly enough, the two got along, even though they were anti. Like, Donaldson would shout out his questions, and there's those famous parts where Reagan pretended he couldn't hear him, and he'd be like,
"Yeah,
sorry, Sam, I can't hear you," And that was his way of telling him, go fuck yourself. But there was never, like, you're banned from the White House or anything like that.
No.
And of course, we mentioned Obama being adversarial to Fox News specifically, okay? But we've never had the combination of a president who's adversarial to several news organizations simply because they're critical of him, and combine it with the populist rhetoric that all news is fake. Like, Larry, I don't know if you can. I did some research. I think you'd have to go back to Woodrow Wilson, who coincidentally was doing this at the same time as Mussolini and Hitler, that you find a president that was that openly adversarial for the press.
Right.
Okay?
No.
And for all you guys, it's not just a Republican position. Liberals are the same way. The left is the same way, except they do it for collectivism. They do it allegedly for the good of everybody. So that's why you can have the silencing of alternative press. That's why, in their minds, it's okay to burn down a campus to prevent Milo Yiannopoulos from speaking there. That's why it's okay to mace Gavin McGinnis in the face at NYU, because you think it's okay because he's a Nazi. Okay? And that's what we're talking about. This whole situation is becoming very fascist. The fact that it's whether you believe in the left statism or the right statism is irrelevant. It's still statism. It's still the government, Larry, trying to control the thinking and the opposition, whatever it is at that particular moment.
To me, it ties into, like, all those things, like Obama going after Fox.
Right.
And, and now you got Trump, and there are so many news agencies he's going after. But that only makes sense because they're all very liberal and very hostile to him. Whereas you really have just kind of like Fox in the conservative world and maybe One America News. I don't know. But he went after them. And I think what's scary about it is, like, I think of that attitude. I think about, like, signing executive orders. Like, stuff like that to me falls under the same thinking.
Yes,
it falls under the heading of, you know what? I know what's right. I'm in charge. You know, even if these assholes think they're like a benevolent dictator or something stupid like that. You know, this is not our system. This is not how things get done. Like John and I, you know, a few weeks ago, we were, even when Gorsuch got nominated, we criticized them and the Republicans for not giving Merrick Garland his hearings. And you know, the Constitution calls for it. And, like, even though, like, John and I have, like, had differences, like, on the drones, we you know, whether it's useful or not, whatever. But, you know, that should have gone to Congress, gotten approval. But you see, like, that's another thing. Like, Obama just went and did that on his own. He's just doing fucking drones for 8 years. Like, there's a little bit too much of this now, like, you know, executive branch, getting, you know, way ahead. Yeah, like the legislative and the executive are like almost like, or
and it honestly goes back to Bush, at least, like with the Patriot Act and all that. It goes back to George Bush Jr., then Obama, now Trump.
Even Clinton was there. Remember when he briefly fought the, here's for something everyone forgets about. Remember he briefly fought the war in Bosnia or Herzegovina against, I just blanked on his name, that lunatic that was doing the ethnic cleansing over there. And
well, I know who you're talking about, Milosevic.
Milosevic. And like, you know, and but you're right, he never went to Congress for that.
Yeah.
Just started shooting missiles into it.
Like, cruise missiles.
Yeah, like, and a lot of Democrats, you know what their argument was at the time for all this? Sorry, I know it's a bit of a tangent, but their argument was, well, we're really not losing any soldiers. Because we kind of fought it from the sea. Like, you know, we were like shooting off like naval ships and just bombing. And, you know, I think through that whole exercise, I think the U.S. lost like 2 soldiers. Yeah. Like, that was their argument for like why it's not such a big deal. Like, excuse me, actually it is. And there's been more and more of this trend of circumventing, if you want, and bringing it back to stupid Trump. What do you think all this is with the tweeting? We've talked about that. It's circumventing the press. It's circumventing the media. He doesn't have to talk to him. Why do I have to talk to you when I can type something stupid and put it out there? And because I have like 80 million followers or whatever he's got, everyone's going to read it and the press will read it.
Yeah.
And then they'll report on it.
And honestly, that's part of the plan, right? Like, I mean, listen, when you have Trump, we complained about this during the election because everything he did was very authoritarian. His promises were authoritarian. Not that Clinton was better. But that's why we were like, it really is no longer a left-right paradigm in this country. It's not liberal-conservative really anymore. It's collectivism versus individualism. That's what it really is now. That's the paradigm. It's you're either down with individuals having the right to determine their own lives, or you're down with the government being the only entity that knows what's best for you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, for you that think Obama was the shit and Obama was awesome and this and that, that's just statism in the name of progressive ideals.
Right.
For those of you who think Trump is the shit and he's awesome and all that, that's just statism in the name of nationalism.
But that's not surprising if you think of it, that the left thinks that.
No,
I mean, look how well Bernie Sanders did in this last election.
And he's still bitching about all this shit. You know, I mean,
and he's a socialist and he wants like the super nanny state.
Yeah.
And, you know, and look how popular he was with Democrats. And they want the government. It's actually something that you always talk about. Mm-hmm. They seem to be under the impression that if you get to elective office, you're just like
magically.
You are magically delicious. You are just the greatest person.
Yeah.
You have wonderful ideals, and people should just shut up and follow you, and which is ridiculous.
Yeah,
because these people need to be questioned. They need to be hammered on. They need to have their honesty questioned. I mean, all of it. And like the problem with Trump, and this is just now. This is going to go on now. He's not going to back off this. Because he's got his, he was at CPAC yesterday or the day before, and he was talking about his movement. And he goes, it's a movement of like great people, and it's the elitist media, and they're so dishonest and lying, like all this stupid.
And it's really scary because it all really goes back into the whole concept that he wants to control the message. For example, he tweeted out that if all his all his followers that voted for him should have a rally, that would show the fake news who what's what. Like, he literally tweeted this out. I mean, I tweeted back at him saying, yeah, it'd be bigger than Berlin 39. Look at the words he uses. Followers. Rally. Right? Mm-hmm. Make America great again. These are all nationalist, fascist terms, honestly.
America first.
America first. These are all like fucking fascist terms. And for all you Republicans that might say, well, I heard Reagan say make America great again. I've heard somebody else say America first. The point is that, again, walk up to 2 black guys randomly in the street and say, hey, my nigger. And when you get punched in the face, explain to them how they use the word nigger so it's okay that you use the word nigger. When you ignore context, you're an idiot. Okay?
Yes.
And the fact is that Trump has bathed all these slogans, all these words, all these concepts in the context of racism and nationalism. Whether you Republicans want to see it or not.
That's right. This is not
That's a very good point. This is not Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Ronald Reagan wanted America to be great in the sense that he wanted us to be an economic power, a military power. He was doing his dance with the Soviet Union, who he finished off. Okay. This is very different. I mean, look, even Carter and Clinton talked about America being a great nation and ending every State of the Union with God bless you and God bless America. There's nothing wrong with the president wanting the country to be great. I mean, the president's supposed to be a cheerleader for the but this is different because this guy is saying all the power, all this point of view, everything comes funnels through me. These people criticizing me, they're liars. Reagan never said that. He never said that. Go, somebody find me some quotes with Reagan claiming that the media are liars, fakers. They're after him. Ronald Reagan, famous for his Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You know, Trump wants to put up walls. He wants to blame people. You know, you have to realize the entire attitude is, well, these Hispanics are coming into the country and we're being overrun, even though the numbers show that they're actually going back right now.
Right.
But, you know, and now, how about the other thing with ICE? You know, lots of arrests. But now I understand a lot of these people have criminals. They have criminal records. Mm-hmm. Fine. But he's making it sound like every person who's ever come into this country illegally. Granted, it's wrong. But he's making it sound like they're all dangerous. You need to be worried about them. You know, and that's just not true. The average U.S. citizen criminal, you suffer much more crime from them than from
people who are
here illegally. They're actually committing a very small percentage. I understand that every once in a while there was a violent one that just happened in Bridgeport, and they arrested the guy just the other day in Hartford. I understand all that, but you have to realize if you were to balance that out and take a look at just crime, like all the shootings in Chicago, those are all U.S. citizens. Yeah. You have to realize he's created a narrative where you have to be afraid of people. You have to hate people.
Right.
Now, all these Muslims, we're stopping them, those seven countries. I understand that Obama had the same list, but I also understand he wasn't stopping them at the airport.
Yeah.
And even people with like legitimate green cards and everything, like you too. And, you know, it's a completely different approach. You're not really making America great. You're not trying to lift everybody up. You're saying you're great, maybe because you're white or whatever, but you're great. And these other people,
they're kind of
in the way.
Yeah, and I can't emphasize that enough. It's like, first of all, you have to understand, like, even at CPAC, Larry mentioned CPAC before. CPAC this past week, Trump held a speech there. There was a room full of rubes. Now, whether it was intentional or not, they were waving a flag, little mini flags around that said Trump on them. But they were Russian flags, or they looked a lot like the Russian flag, and it said Trump on it. And somebody with the Rube administration figured this out and said, holy shit, this looks horrible. They actually went around and confiscated all those flags from people. Now, honestly, if I was at CPAC and someone tried to take away whatever I was holding in my hand that wasn't a weapon, I'd shove it up their ass. What are you fucking kidding me? Why you take my flag away? It's a private event? Throw me out. But then you'd have the spectacle of you throwing out CPAC attendees. CPAC, by the way, Conservative Political Action Conference, okay? You'd have that spectacle of a Republican administration throwing out conservatives, which I'm sure even Trump doesn't want, right? So why did those people agree? Why, you know, I didn't understand any of that. And the other thing about Trump, which, Larry, I want to say is his modus operandi here, is he says whatever the fuck comes into his head, it comes right out of his racist mouth. No fucking filter at all.
Right.
And then it's the job of everybody in this fucking administration to spend the next 10 to 12 hours digging through any possible permutation of what he said to justify it.
Right.
The perfect example is the other week when he said, look what happened last night in Sweden. You know what happened in Sweden the night before? Nothing. Nothing happened. But what did you have? You had all the Ann Coulters of the world going through every arrest record in Sweden, through every, disturbance. And they would come out, well, were you aware that there were two immigrants that stole a piece of bread the night before? That's what Trump's talking about. And if you really think about it and extrapolate it, what that's really symbolic of is the Muslim invasion of Christian countries that happen to be predominantly white.
They did have some brief riots, though.
But that was after he said that. Yeah, again, it's just dumb luck. Right. But my point is that's what Trump does. He says something stupid that riles the base, that gets the rubes, all the all the base of idiots and rubes in this country all worked up. And when he's challenged on it, he then has the entire, you know, force of government
Imagine having to be like Pence and some of these people have to explain things. Like, for instance, Pence just was over in Europe for their, like, Euro meeting or their NATO meeting. Yeah. And he had to answer, like, this guy's actually, his political skills, actually, I have to tell you, I'm sorry to be impressed. He had to answer, like, 500 questions about what's Trump doing? What's this? What's that? What's that? Yeah. Like, everything from why is his wife still living in New York all the way to, like, why is his hair orange? Yeah. He just stood there and it was actually amazing. These people are going to have to, and then, of course, then you have on top of it, you've got Kellyanne Conway, who now 15 law professors have taken out a lawsuit against her. Because of her, she's actually a lawyer. And for her conflicts with the things she said about Ivanka Trump and some other things and the Bowling Green massacre that didn't happen. And like all these, it's just, you know, you have an entire administration of, I don't even know, and they don't even have all the cabinet.
They're all hacks. Like even that guy, Sean Spicer, like those jokes of Melissa McCarthy doing him on Saturday Night Live and all that. The constant things that like, you just have to go out there and now listen. I understand there's Republicans out there that say, well, every press secretary has to lie for the president. Every hack has to do this and do that. You have to understand something. There's covering a policy decision, and then there's just covering idiocy. Okay? Like, for example, even people who didn't believe in Obamacare when they were working for Obama had to support Obamacare.
Right.
Okay? But that's different. You're supporting a policy position. You're not supporting someone who makes up facts for shit that he doesn't have to make. Like, can you imagine being the press secretary and having to deal with questions about why does the president think Arnold Schwarzenegger is a horrible host of The Apprentice? Is that what presidents should be talking about? Like, making up massacres?
Yeah.
Making up
riots?
Riots, saying that people in France were killed by Muslims and then having to have the French authorities correct him by saying nobody was killed here.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's been
a weird pattern starting with I had more people at my inauguration and it wasn't raining.
Yeah.
And the moment he got to the podium, it started like you can see the drops were coming down. And in fact, they handed out like this umbrella and those like huge ponchos and there was like a funny photo of Bush going like.
Well, the funny thing also is he did it again with CPAC. When he was talking at CPAC, he said, glad I could make it through the 6 blocks of people waiting to get in to hear my speech. You know, then you cut outside, all you see is tumbleweeds going by the entrance, you know.
They don't even have it in D.C. anymore. It's depressing.
You have to understand, it's pathological when you lie when you don't have to.
Right. Well, that was always the criticism about the Clintons.
Yeah.
That I always had. You always had. You know, they used to just lie, just... It's almost like when it just becomes second nature. You're lying.
Like, what have you Republicans always complained about Hillary Clinton? And again, rightfully so, that she couldn't tell the truth, even for shit that she would never be on the hook for. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like, for a lot of these things, all she had to say is, yeah, I made $100,000 in the commodities market. So what? Eat me. I'm a good trader. You know, but of course, no, I didn't. And let me get 5 lawyers to answer that question and this and that. Trump is the same way. It's just that he has gone full overboard. Okay. And it's that thing. He's building on the nonsense of the previous status and just taking it to the new extreme level.
Yeah.
Which is not something to be proud of.
Yeah, especially if you're a conservative.
It's not something
I understand if the idiot left do it because they like all that government telling you what to do, bossing you around, maybe, you know, passing laws, like coercing your behavior. Like, I understand, but conservatives? You're supposed to be repulsed by all this. They're clapping for him and cheering his name. And this is great. He's kicking the press's ass. And they love it. He's going to the fake New York Times. And he put out something the other day about the fake news. And then he just ends it with sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Who talks like this? He's the president. That's the other thing that drives me crazy is the lack of like statesmanship and presidential stature of this guy is, you know, people, but let's get something straight. And here's another thing for conservatives. I saw some conservatives saying they like it.
Yeah.
They like his casual style. The fuck out of here. You know, this reminds me of when I was growing up, Democrats in this city, we're in New York, always used to say, can you see yourself having a beer with this person? That was one of their, to give you the feeling that like the Republican or the op weren't ordinary people. They were like snobby or rich. Right. And I always used to say, I don't want to see myself having a beer with this person. I'm not voting for you because I can see myself being casual with you. Yeah. I'm voting for you or not because of this job. And this job is a serious job and it has to be done by professionals and people who know what they're doing. They're talking about. And I don't care if I could see myself hanging out with them. Democrats said that forever. That was their right. big line yeah. to show that they're your ordinary folk.
Yeah.
You know what? That doesn't appeal to me. Now, and conservatives used to hate that. They used to say, so what? And now, look what we're getting from conservatives. They like the casual. They like the beating up on the press. Because they feel like they're finally got somebody who's giving it to them. Because they feel like they've and they have been.
Yeah.
Victimized by the press, victimized by Hollywood, victimized by media. They're always portrayed as bad guy or the heavy or, you know. But it's a very scary trend. And the only thing is, and this is, he's only been in office a little over a month.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like the willful blind eye by Republicans to things that they were complaining about a year ago, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it's projected right now at its current rate of spend, he will have spent more on travel and vacations in 7 months than Obama did in 8 years.
Yeah.
Think about all the shit he used to say about Obama. He plays golf too much. He's always going on vacations. He's never at the White House and all this shit. Some of it true. Some of it justified. And you can see, it's not like he's trying to deny it now, meaning Trump. But just go back to Twitter. One of the only positive bright spots of him being such an asshole on Twitter. He's on record with a lot of this shit. So when you go back to 2012, 2010, you know, you see these things. If I'm elected president, no golf, you know. And someone's
hardest like, working president of all time.
He's already been on like four golf vacations.
Yeah.
He goes to
Mar-a-Lago all the time.
And he calls it White House South. Every time he sends that stupid bitch wife of his back and forth to New York with that kid of theirs, that's an extra couple of million every flight. It's Air Force One, Air Force Two.
Secret Service has to be taken.
New York police has to be involved, all right? There's a lot of shit involved with that. The fact that he wants to go hold rallies in Florida and hang out at Mar-a-Lago and have diplomats fly in and out of Mar-a-Lago, all that shit is off the tab of the American taxpayer, and it's unnecessary. So for all you rubes that are complaining, yeah, we're spending so much money on immigrants. They're stealing our money. That's why we got to get rid of the Mexicans. Your own president is literally shitting money out of his ass.
Wasting
money to fly to one of his own properties, which I guarantee you the government is paying rent on. Okay. Why did conservative lawmakers in Congress not pass the resolution to have to compel the president to produce his tax returns? He's elected. If there's nothing to worry about, why isn't he producing his tax returns?
Yeah.
And
now he's never going to do it.
Right.
Now that he's won.
Yeah.
Now there's really no pressure on him to do it. Now it just becomes like anything else before the election.
Yeah, and FYI.
Like all the pressure was before.
Yeah.
So you can see it and say, oh, you have this, you have that. Can we, let's ask you about, in conflicts of interest. Now that he's won, now there's no reason to do it. So he's not going to do it. And assuming he stays in office and he runs for re-election, he's not going to release them in 2020. He's going to argue that his taxes are more complicated than ever.
Of course.
Or that he has a legal problem.
Or he's been under audit since 1974.
And the reason, I wanted to throw in one other thing. You're absolutely right about the vacations and the money that's being spent. You know why the original argument is stupid in itself? It's like the Kenya thing. You want to know why it's stupid? Because the presidents don't have vacations. They really don't.
Yeah.
I have seen different White House chief of staffs and press secretaries talk. They're all working vacations. They are like in the sense that, yeah, you go away.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of photo ops. There he is having a dinner. He had whatever. The fact is you're working constantly. There are people constantly.
Right.
National security advisor. We just heard blah, blah, blah. You have to get up and leave. Even if you get time to like go to the beach. I remember one time hearing about Bill Clinton was on the beach. So, and he had to just keep going back in and out because there's all kinds of shit going on. There's no such thing as, it's not a vacation in the sense of what you're used to a vacation. Where you can go away and actually unwind and like forget shit for a while. They're constantly being bothered
with
work.
And for Republicans who think he's hardworking and shit, you know, all those reports coming out of the White House that he still watches his TV, whatever 4 hours of TV a day. He still refuses to, like, stay up past his bedtime, whatever that is. Yeah. You know, he doesn't want to be disturbed with certain things. Like, and you could say to yourself, oh, he's delegating and stuff. But, you know, you have to understand, if he has time to tweet about the ratings of The Apprentice, if he has time to tweet about The View giving him shit, if he has time to go to rallies, because you know what he did? 24 hours after taking office, he filed for re-election in 2020. Okay? Look it up. So that when he goes out in these rallies, he can justify it by saying, I'm running for president in 2020. And there's this all sorts of weird sets of rules that apply now.
Yeah.
The fact that he doesn't have a blind trust for his businesses, a true blind trust,
right,
meaning his Beavis and Butthead kids are running his businesses, means every time those assholes fly off to Saudi Arabia or Turkey or Japan, yeah, or and it's an international business, obviously, they get Secret Service protection to all those fucking countries. So now you've got, like, the Secret Service constantly flying around the country when they don't have to. Okay, and it's all because this guy doesn't have the common decency to do what every other president has done, going back again within our memories.
Yeah,
like he's the only one who's never produced his tax return since this became, what was it, since Nixon, I think, or something like that.
Even just individual candidates who running in the primaries who eventually get eliminated, yeah, or release their tax returns. It's not required, but it's like a standard.
It should be. I'm surprised there isn't a law, to be honest with you.
It is a standard. You know, governing, it's a standard rule that the candidates put it out there, and somehow he managed to get out of it. And if you think we're wrong about his attitude and his tone and why conservatives shouldn't like, you know, the other day they let the press in, and he's having this meeting with all these business leaders. Yeah. And some guy from, some lady, I forgot her name, but she goes, I'm the CEO. She goes, I represent Campbell Soup. He goes, good soup. Just like that, this idiot. And then some other guy from the other side, I forgot what company he was from, and he starts telling, I know Donald from like the golf course, and he goes, tell this story about my hole in one.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy's looking at him, he goes, well, he goes, Donald got off a shot, and you know, like he's making the guy tell this like ridiculous, right, complimentary story, right, about himself. Then he corrects him, he goes, actually what I said was, for accuracy, he goes, I said, I'm the best golfer of all the rich guys out here. Like, you know, and of course, like, this brings home to me, like, if you're part of, like, the blue collar, you know, those white working class people you heard about that the Democrats lost on, why you voted? Why did you vote for this? Well, I mean, I guess Hillary must have been that much of a turnoff.
Yeah, I mean, he's but a narcissistic asshole about everything. And for him, that's why he takes the fact that Alec Baldwin is parodying him on Saturday Night Live. He takes it personally. That's why he watches it. He gets angry. He tweets at it. That's why he hates the fact that that woman Melissa McCarthy is impersonating his press secretary. That's why all those reports, right, about he's thinking of firing him, because if a chick is parodying you, it must be because you're a pussy.
Yeah,
right?
He looks weak. Yeah.
It makes you look weak.
Yeah.
See, so that all that stuff is related to the fact that he's a narcissistic asshole.
Right.
And again, it's one of those things like Joe Rogan. If you ever watch his, and I recommend it, go watch his podcast. I mean, he's got one of the top three podcasts in the world, I think. But if you haven't heard of it, go watch Joe Rogan. One of the things he said about Trump, which fascinated me when he was having an interview with Penn Jillette, he said, you know, most presidents, even if you disagree with them, if you meet them, you don't walk away from them thinking they're idiots.
Yeah.
Despite what the media may tell you. Like, right. So he said, I've met George Bush Jr. He's a smart man. He's not the idiot that the media makes him out to be. I've met Clinton, he said. I've met Obama. He goes, these are smart dudes. And Joe Rogan, for those of you that might say, oh, he's a liberal, he's a leftist from Hollywood. No, he's a gun owner. He goes bow and arrow hunting. He only eats what he kills. He's, for those of you guys that are in MMA, he's the announcer in MMA. No. He's like a black belt in Taekwondo. He's not a pussy liberal is what I'm trying to get at, okay? Stand-up comedian, okay? But he goes, I don't agree with Obama, but guess what? I met him. He's a smart dude. You walk away understanding that they're smarter than you. And in some sense, you're happy because someone smarter than you is trying to run the country.
Right.
He goes, in all my dealings with Donald Trump, I never walked away from him thinking that guy's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He may be a rich guy. You know, he may be a famous guy. But nobody has ever walked away from Donald Trump saying this man's intelligent. This man's a genius. What he is, and I'll give him his due, he's like Vince McMahon in the sense that he's a genius marketer. He has no shame. He'll put up his stupid name on any piece of shit. It doesn't matter. As long as it's got gold lamé on it, he'll be fine with it.
Right.
Trump Tower, Trump Steaks, Trump Water, Trump Magazines, Trump Airlines. All the we've gone over all the shitty failures of business that he's had. How his entire regime is based on debt. Another reason why his tax returns are so important. As president, how's he going to treat all the banks that hold his debt, Larry?
Yeah.
And because he hasn't divested his businesses, he still stands to make a lot of money. These are direct interests of conflict of interests that I am shocked that nobody in Congress has had the ball. I got to tell you, I'm so disappointed in the so-called libertarian-leaning senators in the Senate. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Mike Lee. These are people that I would have thought would have said, you know what? We don't approve of Jeff Sessions just because Trump nominated him. That guy's for a civil asset forfeiture, and he wants to continue the war on drugs. Those are not conservative slash libertarian positions.
No, not at all.
All right? Why did they vote against compelling the president to produce his tax returns? Why? I don't get it. Congress immediately, if they've learned one fucking thing, even Republicans, and I'm telling you, it's going to come back to bite. What if Soros runs for president? Are you going to be okay with his tax returns? Or, you know, Soros can't run for president. He's born in Hungary. But you know what I mean. If some left-wing asshole decides to run for office, are you going to be okay with him not or her not producing their tax returns?
Yeah, suppose Mark Cuban runs for president in 2020. He's actually saying he's going to. He's another billionaire. Yeah. HBO owns the Mavericks, some other things. Yeah. I saw him on a couple of interviews. He seems to be very taken with himself. He thinks he's smart enough to do it. And this annoys me.
And he hates Donald Trump.
He hates Donald Trump. He says they're friendly, but he says that he just thinks he's the wrong choice for president and all that. But meanwhile, I don't know what makes him a good choice. But I mean, I don't particularly like Cuban either. But my other problem with Trump is this is now just going to set off a whole barrage of people with zero experience.
Yes, yeah.
You know, like, if you're going to run, let me tell you something. If you're going to run, like, I don't consider Trump to be a successful realtor. I know he's got lots of money, right? But this guy's filed for bankruptcy. You know, like, I liked Carly Fiorina when she was running, but you know what? There's a story there. Here's a woman who started out as a secretary and rose to be the head of Hewlett Packard, a $90 billion concern. And even if it didn't end well, she had a lot of years there that were very successful. If you're going to be somebody running for office, please be somebody who has at least has run things and has been managerial. You know, like you look at somebody like Trump, he's just bounced around. He's got the stakes. He's got the this. He's got a lot of them are failures. He's filed for bankruptcy. Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, look, you know, when he even admits, he goes, well, he said something one time. He goes, well, he gave me like a meager $1 million.
No, he said he gave me a couple of million.
A couple of million. You know what? Everybody would like to have a couple of $1 million to start their own business. It's not that simple. I don't even think people supported him or appreciated like, what a spoiled, silver spoon in the mouth he is. But I don't know. I mean, you know, but it's gonna just continue to turn like this now. The press, the media, and now the Republicans are getting all kinds of hostility at town halls.
Yeah,
over
2018 is gonna be interesting to see how the midterm elections turn out.
You know what the thing is? There's an opportunity here for the Democrats to regain seats, to get some power, to get back. But you know what? I think they're fucking it up, and here's why: they are just about to pick. They haven't done it as of this recording. They're about to pick their new head of the DNC. Might be that idiot Keith Ellison, who I, quite honestly, not only is he so far to the left, I actually think he's a bit of an anti-Semite. I don't like what I'm hearing from this guy at all. There's that stupid white woman, Boyd Brown from Idaho, who said her job, remember a few weeks we covered this? She's the woman who said her job is to tell white people to shut up.
Oh, yeah.
She's the white woman who said that because they don't understand, like, other people's experiences. They've got people running who are just left and lefter, like Dumb and Dumber. They've got left and lefter. And the problem is, especially with the way that they're treating Trump, here's the problem. It's one thing to criticize and whatever. But if you go too far, to the left, you're going to lose a lot of those people again. And then, you know, the Republicans might actually kick your ass in 2018. The Democrats have a lot of senators up, I think 10. Yeah. And they have to play their cards very carefully. There's an opportunity. Yeah. The states that Trump won, and some by double digits, like West Virginia. That's why that Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, that's why he's actually been very helpful to Trump. He's voting for all his candidates because he knows his job is. So, but it's gonna be interesting. But I cannot believe the way this guy does it. And he's only been in office a month. It feels like 2 years already.
Well, on the plus side, we're gonna have plenty to talk about going forward.
Yeah. Okay.
So, on that note, let's just say that we'll be back again next week to discuss the latest in nonsense emanating out of Washington D.C. and elsewhere. Until that time, this has been your host, Big Fat John,
and Judo Larry. And
peace, America.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning plumpkins.